Yeah, you could tell, yeah. That she didn't let anybody else in, too. Okay. All right, you ready to go?
I entertain a motion to return to the open session.
So moved.
Discussion. And then I guess we have a roll call.
Member Bourne?
Yes.
Member Brooks?
Yes.
Member Ludden?
Yes.
Chair Underdonk?
Yes.
All right.
Good evening, everybody.
Good night. Good night, Craig.
All right.
So next we're going to talk about dog parks.
Dogs can't jump over, and then you'll see a lot of them in the comments. It was very interesting.
people in Glenwater, we're very worried about people dumping their dogs there, like putting them over the fence and dumping them, just leaving them for a day or coming leaving them forever. So it would occur to our, for the cabinets, it has to be at least 6 feet tall, so that does not occur. There's multiple surfaces that are used. You can just use grass. If you use just grass, it'll be mud within probably 2 weeks. There's court surfaces, there's crushed gravel, crushed granite. There's also artificial dog turf now that has become very popular, or a combination of those, all those amenities. Heat bobs or swipes are very popular now, so that only if you have a pass can you swipe into the dog park. But a lot of dog parks just have a tag and it's self-police. I know Norfolk does that. They give you a tag and put it around your neck, and other residents they police each other and you find the dog park. The community does that quite well. Have to have a corral where you walk in, lock yourself in and lock in so the dogs don't get out of that area. And education for park dog users is very important. This is all part of the off-leash design. You can do it, it's very simplistic, or you can do very low maintenance, I would say, dog park. So you have water fountains, benches, shades, existing areas for larger dogs, large dogs, small dogs, which I talked about. There's also roving pop-up dog parks with temporary fences that seem to gain popularity. There's the possibility it's very high maintenance. Just think about staff that can go pick that up and then receive whatever grass and move to another park, and then, you know, you make a whole bunch of neighbors unhappy. And again, these are just different operation things that if we go down this route, we will definitely institute for the vaccine. It's up to you if you want to do membership fee, rules and regulations posted. We are reviewing the programming events at the park district, and it's very typical to have a citizens group about not only in the design but also in the operations so that they help police it. These are some other related programs that happen with dogs. You will find a few of these already, and that's what actually spurred the conversation, I think, why people were coming to our board member saying why don't we have a dog park after we started doing some of our special events with dogs. In the slides in there, there's different dog parks. You can go on their website and look at it if you'd like. There's simple, or there's something like this, which is very, they have a lot of different toys in there for the dogs, very large dog park. This is Chicago. It's interesting, but Evanston also has a dog park beach, and I think this one was affected too, because they lost their dog beach because of the high water levels. Evanston had a bit of dog beach, and I'm sure Montrose was affected also with high water levels. A lot of people like water associated with the dogs. You'll see that in our comments too. This is just a very simple one. I find it very interesting that there's a grill in here. I don't know what you think. Grilling hot dogs with dogs in there would be very dangerous. in your binders also all information of all the other area dog parks. I wanted to let you know what the different areas provide. Everyone around us does have a dog park currently. Winnetka's being very small, just a beach. It actually is probably one of the best beaches to this for the dogs. Island Park has three of them. Norfolk has one for residents only. Highland Park do allow non-residents at a higher fee. Wilmette has a dog beach at Lake Forest. There's one Lake Forest, but that's owned by the Lake County Forest Reserve. Lake County Forest Reserve has a very big system of dog parks. They have four of them, very large ones. Cook County has one very large one and two other smaller ones that you'll hear about that. In the meeting, we set up three stations, ideas about potential locations for a dog park, dog run, ideas in support of off-leash, and ideas against an off-leash dog park. And we asked everybody to go to each of the stations. We wanted this meeting not only to gather information, but people learn from each other. So if people were against a dog park, learn why people were for it, and the other side of it, if you're for one, why would your friends and neighbors be against it? So you end up having three stations. I do have to say that the most popular station immediately was the location one. So this is just an example. Barbara didn't have this in. I just happened to stumble upon this when I was in Chicago one day. So this is an example of an area that's not huge, that looks very nice, and a very nice dog park. They utilize, this is the gate they entered in, and then they had a circular cement path, and then this is artificial grass, and then there was a fountain here, tons of benches. And I went in on that, it was like Friday afternoon, and there was a lot of people, big and small dogs. Just that's a good example of a nice, smaller dog park that was done well because of the concrete and artificial surfaces. It's kept very clean. I mean, there was no smell associated at all. This right here is where the park is. So I was above it, and if you look down, they did such a good job of landscaping and the tree keep around existing trees and then putting more bushes that you can't even tell from far away. And this, these were retail shops and condos, and there's also high rises around it. If you want to see, it's a Lakeshore East Park dog-friendly area, like how they call that. And this was a fountain, and I believe it was all sprinkled. So at night, they probably just turn the sprinklers on, it cleans itself. And so very, very low maintenance, which is nice. For a front cost, but less in the end result. There were a few dogs, I think my daughter had a snack, and they really wanted it.
Aww, so, look at her.
So there's over 100 residents in this meeting, by far the biggest community meeting we've ever had about a park development. We talked about that a little bit. So we gave each person in attendance 3 green dots and 3 red dots. And we asked them to put the 3 green dots on where they would like a dog park. And she only used 1 green dot for each location, and then 3 red dots where they would not want. By all means, I'm not saying it was more scientific. We didn't police people, so people could have put 3 dots on 1 location, or they could have put red. Someone claimed that there were people with green dots. We didn't see that. But it just, we just wanted to give an idea of what was happening. Mm-hmm. We did give parameters, and that they weren't always followed when you go through your notes. But we did say, please don't put your dots on parks or athletic fields that are already developed for active recreation, such as athletic fields and playgrounds. We're not going to take out those playgrounds because it's a dog park or an athletic field. And we asked them only to concentrate on park district property. The overwhelming thing people passionately told me that they care a lot, just contact the Cook County Parks Reserve. We pay tax. I'm sure they'll put a dog park there. And well, they were very nice when I called them, and I've been calling them for 6 years since I've been here. And as do have other community members, other commissioners' wives.
Yep.
they're not really interested right now in doing a dog park. They have a big dog park in the region, and they said that it's in your notes
in one of these sections.
And they said that people are more than welcome to walk their dogs on leash in their parks, but at this time they are not interested. So if I have to take them for the word on that, that's their property. Any of the people who kind of contact me, send something like, please contact the Cook County Parks Reserve, and they like to see that happen. And then we took the village property off because there's really no suitable area for dog park on village property. The golf course was brought up, but as you know, dog parks, the most active times are spring, summer, and fall, when the golf course is also in operation. And if you did it just for the winter, you'd really tear up the turf. Just the same reason we wouldn't want it on our athletic field. The restoration on that could take months out of the golf season. And it was also brought up a maintenance area on the other side of the expressway. Well, where are you going to move then, the maintenance area? So that was and we talked to the village before that. We just couldn't come up with mutual things, but if we could, they were more than welcome to work with us. So in your packet, this is kind of a little harder to see, but this is where individuals put their dots. And some were surprising us, and some were what we expected. So please take your time to look through those documents. We indicated how many green dots were put there, how many red dots, and how many acres in that area were up. So you'll see 3 separate areas that were mapped out to look at. And again, some didn't really look at the directions we were talking about, so we have to go off. So take your time looking at those. So we did eliminate some of the areas for consideration for you, just based on, this is strictly based on instructions of not putting dog parks in active recreation area, playground, or athletic field. So we recommended eliminating for consideration Woodlawn Park, because there's really not enough room for dog park, but we played around there. Berlin Park, it's a baseball field that's directly adjacent to a school. Friends Park, again, not enough room. Old Elm, not enough room. Jacob Center, we have a softball field out there. There may be enough room for a dog run behind the parking and along the tracks, but that would just be a straight shot, very small, suitable for one or two dogs. Lakefront Parkway, that's active recreation area with very high level use, and there would be parking issues and concerns about that. Then there'll be beach in season. We do not have an area for a dog beach down there. And then we can talk about off season if that's an option. West Park, that's an active recreation area also, the playground, the athletics fields adjacent to West School. And then Watts soccer field and baseball field only, that does not eliminate the park at Watts necessarily. In your thing, you'll have, I got 44 emails on this subject, and I printed out, I put them all together and printed. They're all in your binder to read over. Please read them. There's some really, really good information in there. People got really detailed.
Yeah.
Some people just said, I'm favor one, not favor.
Yeah.
Some wrote very long and interesting reasons why. So please read over those. I'm not going to go over those today. Some of the verbal comments against off leash park is, you know, there's concern based on parking and the look of the chain link fence. We have two dog parks within 5 minutes. I think it's a little bit over 5 minutes, but you get the idea. Why not get a cooperative agreement? We did try that with Northbrook. They do not want to. Most of them don't want to because they've got, or Highland Park already has a non-resident rate that they can use it to pay higher if they figure their taxpayers paid for the structure. We have nothing really to trade with them to get a reciprocal agreement, say, like we do for Northbrook with our beach and our aquatic center. This one says it doesn't have to be a huge park, it could be the size of this hall, which is very true. Small community sound, proximity homes, thoroughfare of bikes and people. And then there's some more about again, so there's like location. The biggest one was the location next to a resident is unfair in the neighborhood. Why is that to be permanent? Great dog rules, dogs are nice. No problem with park for them if local residents are not adversely affected. Again, concerned about placement near homes. They saw people moving by that, so it's flawed. And they're worried about barking and noise disturbance. We could look at a little bit more into that if that's an issue that the board wants us to. I guess in support of a dog park, this was interesting. Dog parks allow us not to be lawbreakers. It's a very much a sentiment that they let their dogs run off leash now, and I told them that's very dangerous in our parks for people using our parks, children in our parks, and for their dogs running the street. So apparently they're doing it a lot right now. They prevent dogs from off leash being unwanted areas. There's some talk about how I make the fence, no membership fees. People believe if you do a playground, we should do this for free. They don't want to pay higher fees in neighborhood parks. Much need community amenity. Keeps the parkways and long streets clean. I think they think
maybe.
It's a good dog park.
Maybe.
Dogs food.
Yeah.
I love this one. People with dogs who play together stay together in the community, and they're talking about the social bond that they get with dog parks. Keeping dogs healthier for dog owners, a time and money saver. Most dog owners pay money into other communities instead of ours. There's a lot about the dog dumping. We never really heard about it being a problem before, but encourages outdoor activities, provides destination for dog owners, their dogs. Critical for dog and puppy socialization. So all of these are also in your handout if you can read over that. So some general comments, you know, if someone recognized that a lot of our locations are close to houses, so the importance of landscaping, berming, things like that, so that it wouldn't be a nuisance for houses that may be close to dog park. The hours, sunset to sunset, or sunrise to sunset, no lighting, keep out system, things like that. And we talked about some of these other things. Again, this is, I received 34 on supportive off-leash dog park, non-support was 8. Two were waiting, taxpayer funds were not used. Out of a room of about 100 participants, civil community meeting, I would say 99% were in favor. The 1% was against, and there was probably 8 people in the against room because we separated the rooms, but some of them were in favor of the dog park. They just wanted to hear what the ones who were against it were concerned about. So
if you were against, you would have been saying the same.
Yeah, you're right. If you're against, it would be hard to do it, but I found that then people followed up with emails. So I did have a few follow-up emails. A lot of these came before the meetings, they could attend, but you're right, that's very possible that they would be worried about saying that. Some people were very angry because they wanted us to come out with a, this is where you can have the dog park, and we didn't provide that, and I just explained we wanted to see where the residents thought a dog park would go. We wanted to have this as, you know, instead of us saying this is the only place we can have it, maybe someone had a more creative idea. And it was also a community learning process of why we couldn't have it in some areas. So the next steps. So tonight I just want to give you all this information. And I know it's a lot, I just give you a binder full of the PowerPoint, the location, people said some dog park articles, the pros and the cons to it, they're both in there. Some county regulations, like for example, one community in Boston is just doing off-leash parks every now and then. You cannot do that in the state of Illinois, there's strict rules against that. So I just wanted to give you all the information. So at the next committee meeting when we discuss this information, I guess we would at least talk if you want to keep on advancing this idea forward. And what further information do you want from the staff to provide you to help you make this decision? So some things to think about are, does a dog park meet our mission? Are you okay with the dog park being close to a resident? And if so, how close is too close? Is this still a donor fund and having to be on the Are you okay with ongoing expense of off-leash dog park? Is that something you want us to investigate? And then we'll have to depend on what kind of service we use. Other considerations that you would like us to look at? I would also recommend that for the next discussion, board members visit the sites that have a lot of green or red dots or the drive by them. So you actually get that visual. I can easily explain, oh, this location has 4 houses by it. When you go by, you'll be able to see better if it is the house back up to the park, is it facing, is it across the road? So you kind of have an idea in your mind whether you think that becomes awkward. Yes. All right. Was there anything that you would like us to bring forward before the next meeting, or?
I thought it was really helpful to look at the dog parks in the area, just sort of see where they are and get your eyes on them. That was, I mean, if anyone, I know you have, obviously, yeah. But if any of the other commissioners, Stephanie has seen them.
And I think dog park just the location of our town.
Yep. Yeah, and certainly within the yeah.
No, but including all the information about the ones that are nearby and other towns.
Yeah.
Is how that
Yeah.
And a lot of them usually take a walk in. You walk in, you say you're looking around, I'm sure the people will be fine with that. Anything else?
The example dog park you had from Chicago.
Yeah.
Do you have a site plan for that? I don't have a feel for how big that is.
No, I don't have a site plan. It was just, I just happened to stumble upon it. I could get one if we'd like, or figure out how big it is.
I was trying to figure out how large it is, because it does seem attractive at first of all.
Yeah, I think it's only about, remember it's certainly rides about half acre. Mm-hmm. wasn't big ones. Mm-hmm. And it was attached to a much larger parcel, so they just put off the side. And a lot of bushes are on the whole outside, so you really couldn't look in except for when you're going in the door. You could not see into the dog park at all. It wasn't noisy. There was probably about eight dogs in there when I went there.
Yeah. Context.
Is that what I want to do?
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's great. Commissioners, any other guidance you can give staff at this point? Other than going to visit? Anything?
Is there anything that was not indicated with the green dots? I mean, obviously that's all our available land, but is there anything outside of that that you guys were considering? Or?
No, not this time.
Because you can't consider anything outside of any of our properties.
Right, so. Yeah. All the land that we had was up there, and, you know, there might have been, like, someone put one dot, and we're like, oh, we thought that would get more dots for different reasons that we were looking at. But
and it might. It's just, yeah.
It might, yeah.
Good. Binder was very, very helpful.
Anything else? All right, should we move on to the next?
So the next step will be to look at this again at our next committee meeting?
Yes, whenever the board is ready to talk about it, it could be the next committee meeting if you'd like. We can have an open discussion with those.
Depending on how the weather improves. Okay.
Yep. So this is just, it's a lot of information, so I want to digest it and think about it before you come back to decide what the next steps will be. And that's really, I mean, this whole initiative came from the board members getting a lot of feedback from the community, and obviously it was high in our survey. So, yeah, we said, you know, we would explore it to see once and for all if there could be a dog park facility over Bustrap.
And then I encourage the commissioners to read again the magazine articles that were distributed to us earlier.
They're also in the
bag. Also in the bag.
And there's also another, like someone sent an article with an email, I included that in there.
The articles in our IAPD booklet were very helpful.
Yeah.
Specifically one about liability to the park district and why that isn't the concern that I had. Initially, it's not the kind of concern that we would have thought it would be. That was an attorney had written an article that I thought was very helpful. So I actually took some notes, and I'll pass them all on to you.
Yeah. All those articles are in there.
And the articles themselves are in there. Great.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay, anything else? Okay, well then, shall we move on to the status of capital projects?
Excellent. All right, we just want to bring you quickly up to date on our capital projects.
Construction season.
What?
Moving into our construction season.
Yeah, we are. We have actually design season, right? Hopefully, get through. Okay, so first is the take up outdoor play area renovation update. We've held several meetings with our early childhood team that we have brought together. So we have representation from ELC, from Children's Circle, and from DJK, which have first met with staff on different ideas once or twice, and then when this is a picture of all the community came in and discussed their ideas in the site plan, and they've been looking over the DCFS regulations, which makes this playground a whole different ball of wax. So we are Matt, it was a great meeting, don't you? Chris and Bobby.
Very productive.
Very productive, great ideas. They came with pictures, they came with very creative things that we wouldn't have thought of. It was a great meeting. So we turned it over to Altman New to the design, and it looks like probably by the March 19th board meeting, they're going to come up with the first design. Obviously, that's something that you guys you won't take action, you'll see it, you'll make suggestions, I'm sure we'll go back and tweak. We'll do the same thing with this committee. It's very important that what this committee, their input is very important to us, because they're the ones who use it every day, and they were coming up with things that we didn't even think of that are an issue when they're watching the children. So it's a totally different perspective from a parent as a teacher watching 20 kids out there. So they will also see the design and make any recommendations from there. So that's where we're at with that one. The Lakefront Norse Human Overlook Stabilization. We did initial analysis of the overlook. We met with the village on the process. The village indicated they were in support of our proposed measures to shore up that area and look forward to further collaboration on that project. So that's where we're at right there for that one. The next one is Connect the Lakeville Trail. Upon approval of the master plan at the February board meeting, Chris and I began meeting with the village of Lakeville officially to discuss the intersection improvements and trail routing at Maple Hill and all the other street crossings in this trail project. And the feedback we got from them, we sent on to Altman New. The village was very receptive to working with us on this project. They brought up quite a few times active transport meeting and the Maple crossing, so this is very good timing. So they will be working with us, or they may hire their own engineer, architect, and work closely with Altman New on that thing. So we are very, very much in the same, we're on the same page with that project. Chris, Aaron, and I have been very busy. Really, Chris and Aaron did all the writing for the grants, applied for three grants based on the food master plan, and I've been busy contacting legislators. So Brad Schneider wrote a letter of support. The village administrators wrote a letter of support. We have both legislators, we talked to them. So we're very excited about this project. So Chris and Aaron did a great job on this. So, and at the March meetings, we'll ask the board to sign the formal agreement with Altman New to develop, design, construction, and bid documents for phase one of the project and associated costs with that. After the last board meetings, Commissioner Levin requested that I inquire with the committee about widening a sidewalk as a trail option. That would be at least 8 foot concrete sidewalk. So I did, when we were having the meeting with the village, we asked them about the possible bike lane on the old Green Bay Road. Anything's possible, it makes it very difficult because there's a lot of street parking there for the train, and they would not recommend that. And again, they said widening the sidewalk, again, is possible if that's the direction we want to go. It'd have to be concrete.
It would have to be concrete, or it could be asphalt or something.
Well, the sidewalks are concrete, so that's the standard in the village, so we couldn't really add another path right next to it that is asphalt. It probably wouldn't look very nice, so I guess that would be the recommendation. But I just want to give you some past history, and I have more history if you want. I have tons of slides. So looking back at past committee notes, the committee did discuss this option during the conceptual phase. To summarize discussion in very short, way, it was told by commissioners agreed that a widening path was preferable because widening trail slows down bike traffic and is more suitable for casual walker rider. Gets residents into the park and closer to the amenities that other amenities in the park is doing. And a trail of decomposed limestone is permeable and environmentally friendly, and some refer to this as a running surface. The point that was brought up in favor of the expanded sidewalk during those discussions was that it is definitely less invasive to the neighbors, just extending the sidewalk out. Based on the notes, other idea was advanced. If the board does change their mind and want to go with the sidewalk approach as opposed to the winding trail, at this point we have to cancel our grant applications because we don't have the design for that option done and available to submit for grants. If it'd be helpful, I can show you the whole development process if you'd like an overview of what we've done from day one on this project. So it's up to you. Or if you'd like to talk about this option.
I would just add, Lisa, that I don't view it as an either or. Like, when I was thinking about it, I think the last meeting, whatever, that there just may be times in that trail's meandering through all those parks where it's more efficient to have it adjacent to the sidewalk than it is to than to have it two completely more or less parallel things the entire length.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there may be, whether it's an opportunity to reduce the impact on neighbors or reduce the cost or just reduce the disturbance of large trees.
Oh, yeah. And I totally agree with that. And Chris can speak on this. I know he's like, but we definitely have during the plan places that it does go, for example, by Sunken Park.
Yes.
An official name. It goes almost parallel to the sidewalk. Every time it goes to the street, we're having intersections and come back to the same point every time, so we don't have a crossing that's up here and then one down here, the next sidewalk. So they're all coming back to the same point.
We also have proposed that, you know, if we do end up going with fitness equipment, that it's linked to the sidewalk, so we don't actually have to develop our own new ADA accessible surface to get to it. You're getting to it from the existing sidewalk. So
yeah,
that was part of that mm-hmm. cost savings process as well, as, you know, mm-hmm. if we want a piece of equipment and we're gonna zig the trail over, so, you know, you're not walking through the grass or landscaping to get to that equipment, it would be closer to the sidewalk in that way as well.
Well, good.
So, and as Lisa said, you know, per the village's direction, the trail will terminate at the intersection at each street crossing, and there will be like a shared concrete plaza there that will be ADA accessible.
Right. So that we're not having two crossings.
Yes, we won't have two crossings.
Mm-hmm. And also, there is areas that, and I know there's one area in particular that we'll bring back to you that, you know, one way the path, and this is in Sutton Park, it's by the sculpture.
The sculpture, correct.
Yeah, mm-hmm. there's one way the path could go behind the sculpture and mm-hmm. cost less money,
mm-hmm.
Or go in front of the sculpture, cost more money because of roof protection, but it's further away from the house, and the board can make a decision which way they would like to go with that path. So
you
left
the base, but there's definitely sometimes it's almost parallel to the sidewalk, but then it goes again behind the roof. So
you're right about that.
You know, my experience in other communities, you know, that I've visited and been to, is that these trails are typically seen as a benefit to your home and your home's value. And I know that people are nervous when there's going to be a change, but I really believe that a gravel path passing in the vicinity of your home for walkers and sometimes bikers, I don't perceive that as being a noisy experience, and I don't see it as being a disruptive experience. I really do think that it's going to be beneficial overall, and often kind of nice sometimes to look out your window and see a human being walking by, not a negative.
So, do you want to proceed with what we're doing, with what Josh said, is that not necessarily a path, but sometimes it does parallel to let the impact the neighbors a little less, and that's kind of the direction we're moving, would you say, Chris?
I would. I think at the narrowest point, the public right-of-way is still 90 feet from, which is nine-story building, from private residence. I think it's 90 feet. So I think it would be, we would have to, you guys would give that direction to Ultimate New to say, okay, well, we're going to try to keep that band as wide as we can in that 90-foot area. That's right there by Lincoln and Crescent, I believe, where we've had the noisy storm drains / underground river discussion. That's the narrowest band there, and I believe that's 90 feet from the property lines. But I think it's absolutely doable with, you know, clear cut direction, because I think in those narrow areas are, you know, where we're not really maneuvering around trees, we're not making mm-hmm. a choice of going through a 300-year-old tree or jogging up against a residential path property line.
Mm-hmm.
You might have to move some small amount of trees, but not our historic.
There's a couple that I think are going to be unavoidable, but I think we're just going to have to manage the impact and say, okay, well, we have a specimen tree here, and we have something that's in, you know, average condition here. We're going to make that jog mm-hmm. in that direction, but
it's a puzzle.
Yeah, that's really part of the master planning process. I think that first concept plan that we have had something like one removal in 0.5 miles, which I think was pretty good for what we've accomplished.
Just What's the length of this room? I'm just trying to get my head.
Well, that's a great question.
Oh, sorry. I thought you'd know immediately.
We're going to count the tiles on the floor.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was just a guesstimate. I was just trying to, like, get a cut.
Oh, I don't know. Probably 40 feet.
Really?
Probably not.
So 40 feet. No, this is 100 feet.
Yeah. 100? This has got to be 100.
Yes.
Okay, so in the vicinity of the length of this room.
Yeah.
Okay,
oh,
got
so
it.
That's a great way to think about it.
Okay, all right.
Right here. You're from Ireland. How can you know feet?
I know both, actually.
Yeah, you do. You do know both.
Imperial.
Uh-huh.
He knows
Imperial.
Ask him about the difference between 12 ounces and a pint, though.
Imperial. Right? Oh, love that. Yeah. Oh, that's
we'll,
nice.
We'll let it pass. If I had to say, in a perfect world where cost and tree removal was not an issue, I'd rather see a winding trail that has a soft, crushed, what is it, limestone or granite?
Limestone.
Gravel component and an ADA accessible component, whether it's cement or asphalt, so that there aren't these two or three, if you include the road, parallel hardscapes.
Right.
Or four, if you include the railroad tracks. Is that just completely unrealistic to consider something like that?
To a winding trail with crushed limestone, I'm sorry, what was the?
To have to replace, to not have a sidewalk at all.
Oh, I don't think that's...
trail that's sort of two surfaces, half of it being hard that the village would maintain and half of it being soft.
I don't think they could remove the sidewalk. They need that hard space
for
people, shovelable, removable snow. The crushed limestone trail would not be played. Yeah.
I'm suggesting you remove the sidewalk so you take out the thing that looks like somebody drew it with a ruler. Replace it with a trail that has two surfaces, half of it being hard, whether that's cement or asphalt, and half of it being...
It's basically like a hybrid concept. Like you might have a 5-foot wide winding concrete sidewalk with crushed on one side. I think you're definitely going to get settling, where you're going to have a discrepancy in grades there and drainage concerns. I mean, I think... while it's theoretically possible, it's certainly something different than what we've discussed up until this point.
Yeah, it'd be a totally new plan.
And I guess maybe from a sustainability standpoint, to tear out a perfectly good sidewalk and all that cement. I mean, I'm just brainstorming here. That'd be something in the cons column for that. Yeah. And I do also think some people really want to get from A to B, and they want a straight line. So I guess that, people coming from the train and are just on a mission to get home, they want the straight line.
Yeah.
We'll
have a fundraiser
calling us. Yeah. Good point.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Any other comments?
So this will come back to us at our board meeting.
Yes, to approve the agreement for design and construction documents. We approved the master plan, which we needed to do for the grants, so now we'll approve the contract with what's ultimately. So you've heard about it many times. It's just now the formality of doing it. Once we approved it, then they had to develop the agreements.
Question to the budget. The budget is what we...
Yes, no.
Yeah.
Yep.
Got it.
Okay.
Got it.
All right. Other business?
Anything else?
I do have one other thing. Other business is that we just... received word that the Linden House subdivision is now complete. So now we can proceed with community meetings and such about that property. So you'll start seeing that. We've already contacted our attorney to start that process of what we need to do for that. So that was a long, very long process. So Chris did a great job making sure that was all facilitated. So we're ready to move to the next stage.
Good.
So. You'll hear more about that coming up. That is all I have.
Anyone else? Any other issues, concerns? Well, if not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Moved.
Aye. Second. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you, Lisa.
I call the March 5th, 2019 Special Projects and Facilities Committee meeting of the, of the Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and count the time.
Member Bourne?
Yes.
Member Brooks?
Yes.
Member Kimball's absent. Member London?
Yes.
And Chair Underdunk?
Yes.
Excellent.
Okay, matters from the public. I guess not from the public. Okay.
Phew, that's a good thing.
The board will now enter into a closed session where no action will be taken. I entertain a motion pursuant to Section 5 ILCS 120/2 of the Open Meetings Act. The board will enter closed session to discuss real estate as mandated by Section 2.06, 5 ICILCS, 120/2A5. And so I need to...
Yep, those present during...
Those are present during the executive session, including commissioners and Lisa Shepherd, Carol Messenger, Chris Leiner, Bobby Collins, and Craig Culp, Executive Director of NSSRA. So I need a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call vote, please.
Member Bourne?
Yes.
Member Brooks?
Yes.
Member Kibble? Is absent, never mind. Member Ludden?
Yes.
Chair Underdunk?
Yes.